Well, let's have all the choir come on again. The choir will start the service here in about 2 minutes. Good to see you in the service today. We're going to do things a little different. As you know, Tuesday is the anniversary of 9/11. And I told some of the men in the prayer room that we have sort of forgotten. You don't hear much about it anymore. And I know it's politically incorrect, I guess, to dwell on it. But I remember, I don't remember. Of course, I wasn't there. But I do remember in newsreels and things when Pearl Harbor was attacked, that every single day in theaters around the country during movies, they would show newsreels of Pearl Harbor. And they did that to keep in the mind of everyone what was going on. Well, today we're going to have a bit of a 9/11 memorial service because I think, now I know that there are children especially, of course, since it was 2001, that do not know what 9/11 even was. And I doubt very seriously if they've been told what it is, because even in the news nowadays, you don't see much about it. But anyway, we want to start the service by saying the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag and singing the national anthem. So would you stand, please, with me and let us say the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag, then remain standing and we'll sing the national anthem. All right? Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let's remain standing for the national anthem. Let's remain standing as we go to the Lord of Prayer, and I want to thank the Starling boys. Both of them are in the Civil Air Patrol, so they came prepared to present the colors today, and I appreciate them doing that. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you today, and we thank you for the opportunity we've had to come together on the Lord's Day. And Father, we pray that as we meet together, that the touch of heaven will be upon the service. Now, Lord, we know that this morning is a memorial service for what happened in 2001 on September the 11th when our country was attacked. And Lord, terrorism and Satan himself behind all of it has been attacking our nation, not just since then, but all the time that we've been a nation, because we claim God and in God we trust. But Lord, I pray that this morning as we go through the service that not only will we remember those who fell, but those who have fought since then and before then and given their all so that we could be free here today. And God, I want our young people and our little children to grow up understanding what patriotism really is and how we ought to honor our country. It's not a perfect country. It's got a lot of faults and a lot of failures. But Lord, I believe it's still the best one going. And I'm proud to be an American. But more than that, I'm glad to be a Christian. And so, Lord, I pray that we will teach our families down the line, the grandchildren and so on, what it is to remember what happened that awful day in 2001. So thank you now for this time together. Bless the choir, the special music, and the preaching of the Word of God. And we'll thank you for all you do now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Pray for the choir, please. take your hymnals. Thank you, choir. Turn your hymnals to 177. 177, let's stand and sing. Great is thy faithfulness. Sing out now.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning within. Thou strangest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast made, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, dear mercies I sing. All I have needed, I hang back from my lips. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer.
We're doing things a little different out of order, so we have the choir to come down. Go ahead and shake hands together. We'll go ahead and have our fellowship time. Glad to have some visitors with us. Be sure and shake hands with them. All right. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning, and thank you for being in the service today. And we'll get on here. We've got about a 9-minute video we want to show here right in just a second. But before we do, let me introduce our guest, brother and sister, and I hope I say this right, Mohinani. Yeah, they're from near Minneapolis, Minnesota. They're down here. He's from India, and they're visiting some friends here from India, and decided to come be in church with us today. So they're kind of neighbors of Brenda's family. How far are you all? A couple hours. So, but you know, what's a couple hours amongst Minnesotans? Right, there you go. And we're glad to have them here with us today. And good to see Amy here. Amy's mom, Lisa's been sick. I called yesterday. I wondered. We hadn't seen her. And she said she's not feeling well. But anyway, I hope she's improving. But we miss Ms. Lisa. But good to see Amy here with us again today. Good to see all of you in the service. Like I said, we're wanting to do a little bit of a memorial. Now, some of what you'll see are actual news reports of 9/11. So if for any reason you think you don't want your children to see it, then by all means you take them out into the vestibule. I don't think what I saw is not anything, but some people might be a little apprehensive about it. But it's history, and it happened. We were there. I was teaching speech class the first hour of the day in school in Monroe at Tabernacle Christian School when one of the staff members came up, knocked on my door and said, "The pastor wants everybody in the auditorium right now." Well, I didn't have a clue what was going on, didn't have any idea. But we hustled everybody down to the auditorium, and they had a screen down, and they started playing live what was going on with all of this. And so I was sitting in the auditorium at Bible Baptist Tabernacle watching on a big screen as it was happening live right there on 9/11. So I just want to do this as a reminder. I think it's good to be reminded. You know, throughout the Scripture, God reminded Israel of where they came from and how they got there. And so it's good to be, you know, they say if you don't remember history, you're bound to repeat it. So we want to always remember and remind our young folks and those in the future what our country has gone through. Over 4,000 people lost their lives that day. And then countless others since then fighting for our freedom because of that day. And so we certainly want to do that. And before I go any further, because I'll forget, before we do this, I want all the grandparents to stand up. Today is Grandparents' Day. All the grandparents, if you're a grandparent, yeah. Let's give them a hand. Amen. We want to recognize you. Bethany's not here. She's in Rock Hill with her grandmother, going to church with her. She'll be back tonight. But we didn't want to forget Grandparents' Day. Amen. And then Mr. Ralph and Edith May are new great-grandparents. Their daughter in Florence had their grandson or granddaughter? Is it great-great? Oh, it's two greats. Oh, I thought it was just one. Two greats. All right. Well, Miss Edith May is a great-great-grandmother. Ralph, he's an okay fella, but, you know, I don't know that I'd put too many greats behind it. No, he's a great-great-grandpa. There you go. So Oliver is his name. Amen. He lives down in the Florence area down there. All right, you pay close attention, and many of us will remember as we see these visuals.
This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
I just witnessed a plane that appeared to be cruising slightly lower than normal altitude over New York City, and it appears to have crashed into, I don't know which tower it is, but it hit directly in the middle of one of the World Trade Center towers. The plane just coming in low, and the wingtips tilted back and forth, and then it flattened out. It looks like it's hit at a slight angle into the World Trade Center. I can see flames now coming out the side of the building, and smoke continues to billow.
I think a home takes about, looks like 6-7 floors were taken out. And there's more explosions right now. Hold on, people are running.
Hold on.
Hold on
just a moment. We've got an explosion inside.
The building's exploding right now. You got people running up the street.
Okay.
Hold on, I'll tell you what's going on.
Okay, just put Winston on pause there for just a moment.
Okay, the whole building just exploded some more. The whole top part.
Okay.
The building's still intact. People are running up the streets.
You are looking at this picture. It is the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, both of them being damaged by impacts from planes. We saw one happen at about maybe 9 minutes before the top of the hour, and just moments ago, so maybe 18 minutes after the first impact, the second tower was impacted by another passenger plane.
That's absolutely inexplicable. There shouldn't be any aircraft in that area, much less something heading what looked like deliberately for the World Trade Center Tower.
We went to a high point in our building, which is on the 25th floor, and you had a clear view of the both World Trade Centers, and the one tower was smoking hard. And there was another plane that was flying low, and we just looked at it, and before you know it, just kamikaze, boom, right into the other tower, and mass explosion, windows flying. It was horrible.
We heard a big bang, and then we saw smoke coming out, and everybody started running out, and we saw the plane on the other side of the building, and there was smoke everywhere. People are jumping out the windows. Over there, they're jumping out the windows, I guess, because they're trying to save themselves. I don't know.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. I have spoken to the Vice President, to the Governor of New York, to the Director of the FBI, and have ordered that the full resources of the federal government go to help the victims and their families, and to conduct a full-scale investigation to hunt down and to find those folks who committed this act.
We also have a report now that it was a plane that crashed into the Pentagon, and we have a large fire at the Pentagon. The Pentagon is being evacuated as we speak.
There is a lot of confusion here at the Pentagon. It appears that something hit the Pentagon on the outside of the 5th corridor, on the Army corridor. Several Army officers I talked to reported hearing a big explosion, seeing shards of metal coming past their window. The Pentagon has been evacuated. Emergency services personnel were rushing to reports of several people trapped in the building. Most of the building's 24,000 people are outside of the building or in the center courtyard as the emergency teams try to sort out what has happened here.
There has just been a huge explosion. We can see a billowing smoke rising. And I'll tell you that I can't see that second tower, but there was a cascade of sparks and fire, and now it looks almost like a mushroom cloud explosion, this huge billowing smoke in the second tower. This was the second of the two towers hit. And I cannot see behind that smoke, but just look at that. That is about as frightening a scene as you will ever see.
Just before 10 o'clock, parts of the building began peeling away. People started screaming. The police began yelling, run, run. And thousands of people started running away from the buildings as they were falling.
You can see perhaps the second tower, the front tower, the top portion of which is collapsing. Good Lord. There are no words.
Where I'm right now, there's a thick plume of smoke, and you can see crowds of people, including emergency service workers and police officers, running from the scene, screaming, and there's a school nearby where there were kids in the schoolyard. That has been emptied out, and they're running up the street now, too. The whole sort of the neighborhood, I'd say several blocks up, is covered by this almost powdery smoke. Little tiny pieces of building you can see just floating in the wind around it. It's almost like a huge cloud had kind of enveloped that part of lower Manhattan.
You saw people being wheeled on gurneys away from the site of the explosion. People were coming out with masks over their face, anything they could put over their face, because the air was still very thick with debris.
We have a report now that a large plane crashed this morning north of the Somerset County Airport, which is in western Pennsylvania, not too terribly far from Pittsburgh. We don't know if this is somehow connected to what has gone on in New York and Washington, but we do know that another plane has crashed, this one about 80 miles south of Pittsburgh, or at least to the southeast of Pittsburgh.
Everyone, I'm sure, on their mind is God rest the souls of those who've lost their lives this morning in New York, in Washington, near Pittsburgh, in Pennsylvania. It is just a story for which there are no words to describe.
Mighty sobering, isn't it? If you'll remember when all of that happened, in fact, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Brother Joaquin, I think you were on your way back to the United States and got diverted to Canada on that very day, wasn't it? Yeah, while all this was happening, Yeah. And you remember that when all that happened, how America seemed to come together, and haven't we gone a long way in the other direction since then? It's a shame. I'm telling you, it's a shame. But that we always need to be reminded of that, and to realize that, you know, Satan doesn't just hate Christians. He hates anything that even professes to be Christian. And so we just wanted to take this morning to just remind ourselves once again. I know that's very sobering. You almost don't feel like having church after that. But it's because of the grace of God and people who put their lives on the line, even when something like that happens, that we can be here. 17 years later. That's a long time ago. 17 years is a long time. Most of the time, people say things like, time heals all wounds, or it helps you to forget. But these are the kind of things you don't ever want to forget. You just don't want to forget these things. Not to stir up hatred and all. I don't mean it that way. Just to remind us, number one, that we are a country that people do not like because of our freedom. And number two, how quickly life can be over. You think about those 4,000 people that got up that morning, went to work. Now, remember, that's at 9:30 in the morning, 10 o'clock, so we're only talking about a couple of hours. Those folks got up and said, hey, I'm going to work, and I'm going to do my thing, and who knows what they had planned all down the line, all those firemen and first responders and policemen going to work, and then 3 hours later, 4,000 of them gone. I'm telling you, folks, if you're not saved today, you ought to make sure you're going to heaven when you die, because it could happen at any time and in a blink of an eye. So please make sure you're prepared, okay? All right, I tell you what, let's stand to our feet now. And let's see, Brother Tim, let's sing a little something real quick just to get our minds back on the Lord a little bit. Just a little, yeah, come on, let's stand and sing something together.
Let's sing verse 2 of How Great Thou Art, number 365. You give you a chance to find it, 365. We'll sing the first and last stanzas.
Let's take care of our offering. Then Brother Tim will introduce the special. Come on, ushers. Let's go ahead and take care of our offering this morning. Amen. All right. I'm still proud to live in the greatest country on earth. Amen right there. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for again this opportunity to gather together. Now a time to give and worship in our giving. And Lord, we're thankful that you have allowed us the opportunity just to give a portion back that which you blessed us with. So glad to have the Moanani family here and others. Lord, we thank you for them taking time out of their day to come and worship with us here. And God, we pray that what we do here today will not only honor you, but honor this great country that we live in. Now we ask you to bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen.
right, real quick before the special, let me give you some announcements. This evening, we'll have our service at 5:30. I hope you can all make it back. We'll have choir practice at 4:30 this afternoon. The whole choir at 4:30, so be here for that. And then the service will follow at 5:30. Of course, our Wednesday night service, if you didn't know it, at 7 o'clock. We'd love to have you 7 o'clock on Wednesday, of course. That's when the Wednesday night service is, on Wednesday. That'll be 7 o'clock, so I hope you can make it out for that as well. Now, the only thing left on the calendar for this week is the Sewing Saturday on this coming Saturday. It'll be the third Saturday of the month, even though we did go yesterday out to the stadium to do that. We will be having a standard door knocking on this coming Saturday, 10 o'clock here at the church. So I hope all you men that can will meet us here at the church at 10 o'clock on Saturday for that. Let me give you a couple of events coming up to keep on your mind. There's on the 21st, which is a Friday evening, Gant Street is having their annual men's meeting with Brother Eddie Davis. So we want to take a good group of men over to that. That'll be Friday evening, September 21st. I believe there's a meal before the service. It's at 6 o'clock, and the service is at 7. So you get a nice meal out of it, too, if you go. And we'll work out all the details as far as when we would leave and all that kind of stuff. And we'll work those out to you. But men, put that on your calendar. Friday evening, the 21st, over at Gant Street. And then let me give you this. The ladies' meeting in Hartsville on Saturday the 22nd. We told you about this the other night. But I hope you ladies are putting that on your calendar. That'll be at Whispering Pines Baptist in Hartsville, Saturday the 22nd. Next Sunday, we will get a count of all the people who are planning to go. So next Sunday, come prepared to raise your hand if you're going to that meeting, ladies. That'll be on Saturday the 22nd. Then the Rusty Anchors will be on Tuesday the 25th, and they are going to the museum. So I think y'all going to try to learn something down at the museum. I think that Brother Ralph might have an exhibit in there. Is that right? All right, that's funny. Yeah. So they're going to go see Brother Ralph's exhibit in the museum and then have a lot of fun. That'll be on Tuesday the 25th. Are y'all meeting here and then going down there? So we'll give you all the details of that when we get closer to it. That's Tuesday the 25th. Now, a couple things down the road we want to put on your calendar. I know I got a lot, but keep all this in mind. Write it down if you got a pen. Our trunk or treat. Y'all remember that last year, how much fun we had out here with the trunk or treat? That was great. We're going to do that on October 26th this year. That's a Friday evening. Late afternoon, early evening, and going into, I guess, into dark on October the 26th. I want you to write that down. Now, you were wanting to have a meeting this evening after the evening service with anybody who wants to help with a trunk or treat. So this evening, after the evening service, I'll remind you again tonight, if you want to help with that, that'll be on October 26th. You meet after church tonight. And we'll get everything organized. And Mr. Judy, you want to mention we want someone to pray about kind of leading this thing. So if you seek the Lord and see if you want to kind of take charge of this thing, because we got different ladies doing all kinds of different things, and we're looking for someone to step up to the plate and kind of take charge of this thing. And I think God's got someone picked out, and He's telling you right now. I can't hear it, but He's telling you right now. So if you think that's who it is, if you think you're the person, then come ready at that meeting tonight to say, I think I'm the one God wants to lead this thing. And then way in the future, but it'll be here before you know it, Friday, December 14th, we want you to take your red pen right now and mark this date down so you don't schedule anything over it. Friday, December 14th, that's a Friday evening, will be our church Christmas party. It'll be at North Springs Park up here on Clemson Road. So we got a venue. Everybody can come. It's going to be a great time. But we don't want you to schedule anything over that if you can help it. So we're telling you 2 months early, 3 months early, December 14th. Go ahead and mark that on your calendar. And we'll have a good time celebrating with each other during the Christmas season. All right.
We'll recognize birthdays and anniversaries tonight because of the somberness a little bit. I do want to thank people that came out yesterday to pass out tracts. Well, you had three young people. Pastor teamed me up with Pat and Dante, and I got to tell you, Dante could sell ice to an Eskimo. I mean, but he had one line. If you want to learn how to pass out tracts, we had a man and his wife, and of course we were out by the street and people were walking on the street. He walked up to the man and said, "Can I give you something to read?" The man took it, and he said, and one for your beautiful wife. She took it, too. So he knows how to do it, all right? So appreciate everybody that came out yesterday for that. All right, well, before Pastor comes, we have the Starling family coming to sing for us.
Looking back at that video, I remember where I was that day. I'm sure if you, if you're alive and you have it maybe 5, 6 and on up, you probably remember where you were. I remember the day I was out working at a rental company. I was in management for a rental company. I was out delivering a pressure washer when I heard it come across the radio. So I got back, delivered the pressure washer as fast as I could and got back to the office, and we did no business the rest of the day. I was because everybody was glued to their TVs. And I was standing there and we had it pulled up on one of our big TVs, and it's like I'm just waiting for somebody to say that was us. We did it. War, you know. But you know what? Through it all, I don't know. I don't know if Brenda was. I think Brenda might have been in the air. I'm not sure. But Joaquin, you and Sabine, and I couldn't imagine being there in the air with all that going on. You're not knowing what's going on. But through it all, Jesus is really all that matters.
Right.
All those souls that lost were lost. All those that were perished. I don't know who knew the Lord. One day we will, I believe. But I can't imagine how many people went out to meet the Lord without knowing Him. Without knowing Him. Is the Lord really all that matters to you this morning? He should be. He should be. Through it all, He should be the all that matters in everything in your life. So y'all pray for us as we try to sing the song.
If I could say one thing, it'd be He's the best thing. If I had but one word, Jesus would be heard. If I had but one breath, I'd use it to praise the Lord. For He is really all that matters. When this life is over, we'll cross death's cold waters. We'll see more clearly, we'll see that really He is.
If this were my last day, I'd shout Jesus all the way. If this were my last mile, I'd spend it praising Him a while. If this were my last breath, I'd use it to praise Him with. For He is really all that matters. When this life is over, we'll cross death's cold waters. We'll see more clearly and see that really He is.
If He hadn't loved me like He does, then I wouldn't be. If He hadn't saved me, I'd suffer through eternity. If I had but one breath, I'd use it to praise Him with. For He is really all that matters. When this life is over, we'll cross death's cold waters. We'll see more clearly, we'll see that really He is. For He is really all that matters. When this life is over, we'll cross death's cold waters. And we'll see more clearly and see that really He is. We'll see more clearly and see that really He is.
Message to it. Well, get your Bibles ready. Listen now as the pastor comes this morning.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim, and thank you, Starling family. Get your Bibles, if you would, please, and let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew, chapter number 14. Page number 1019, if you have a Schofield Bible. I want to preach just a few moments on with the theme of 9/11 in mind, and preach on this thought: when buildings fall and waters rise. When buildings fall and waters rise. Matthew chapter number 14, we read a very familiar passage of Scripture, beginning in verse number 22. Would you stand with me, please, if you're able, in honor to the Word of God, and we'll read just a few verses, and then we'll pray and give you the message. Verse number 22, the Bible said, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity and this time to worship you in message. Please use this message, these scriptures, and this feeble mind and mouth to preach only what would be pleasing unto thee. Speak to our hearts not only in remembrance, but also, Lord, if there's someone here lost without Christ, may they understand that what we saw and what we've experienced is nothing compared to eternity separated from God. So, Lord, bless now this message, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've tried to remind and remember what happened September the 11th, 2001. Many of us remember that day, and we've seen it now, and we want to keep it fresh in our mind. Again, not for the sake of hatred, but for the sake of patriotism and honor and understanding that it can happen anytime. I've had the privilege, Judy and I, to go several times to where the Twin Towers stood. You cannot imagine the immenseness of those buildings until you stand in the two holes that they made into the 9/11 memorial, but the two large gaping holes where those buildings were built. Brother Shelton told us this morning that he'll be leaving this afternoon for some time because now South Carolina, along with some other East Coast states, are on alert because of Hurricane Florence. Of course it would come to South Carolina. It's called Florence. But he'll be leaving along with many of his compatriots to spread out around the state to help folks get out of the way. How many of you folks here remember Hurricane Hugo? That was 1989. That was a long time ago. I was pastoring in Rock Hill when that storm hit. The worst inland hurricane in history. 155-mile-an-hour winds, 2 hours inside of the coast of South Carolina. 140-mile winds in the state of Virginia. It had made such a loop through Charlotte, South Carolina, through Columbia, of course. And so we think about things like, by the way, I did some research, and I found out that Hugo was officially named a hurricane on September the 11th, 1989. It didn't strike until September 23rd. But September the 11th, 9/11 is when Hugo became a hurricane. Well, you think about what I call cataclysmic events. Things that and the word cataclysmic comes from the word catalyst. And so I remember when 9/11 happened, I thought of it for at least a few days as a catalyst to wake up America. You know, everybody was talking about the judgment of God and the judgment of this and the judgment of that. And, you know, certainly God knew what was going on. Was it the judgment of God? Could have been. It's amazing that they struck what they thought was the economic center of the world when those planes struck. Another hit the Pentagon, the military center of the world. And then the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania, thanks to some brave souls on that airplane, kept it from, they found out later, its target was the White House. The political center of the free world. So the attack was on the financial, military, and freedom, not just of America, but the whole world. And I heard people, I'm talking about rough, tough people, saying that we ought to pray and ask God to give us courage. I mean, there was a lot of talk about God in those days. A lot of praying going on from Capitol Hill right down to Columbia, South Carolina. But it didn't last. Whenever man got hold of the issue and decided that they were able to survive it, suddenly God was no longer important. By the way, is it unusual that when a tragedy strikes your life, that the officials tell you to dial 911, 9/11? Why? Because a cataclysmic event has occurred. More than just spilling hot coffee from McDonald's in your lap or not getting the right salad. I'm talking about when real tragedies occur. And everybody is taught, we teach our children from the time they're old enough to understand, if something's wrong, dial 911. Why? Because you want to get help. That's the number you call to get help. Well, here in the Word of God, Jesus sends His disciples fully well knowing what was about to happen. Because He wanted them to understand the importance of who to call when you need help. So I want to use these verses, and I'm going to read Scripture along with them. I'm going to ask you to turn there for time's sake. What should we do when cataclysmic events occur to us? You think about, now there's a lot on there that you did not see, and probably well enough. But you heard one of the ladies talk about people jumping out of windows. And they showed, you saw people from the 108th floor jumping out of those windows because they didn't want to burn up in the fire. And then Brother Shelton mentioned, and I'm sorry folks, I can't help but think this. It's a fact, it's a spiritual fact, that many of those who did not know Jesus Christ and leapt out of those windows because they didn't want to burn up the fire, when they hit the ground, the next sight they saw was fire. They were in hell. Now that's, you know, I don't know that, well, I don't know, but maybe we should. If I were to speak at a 9/11 memorial of some kind, somebody would say, Pastor, surely you're not going to say that. How offensive would that be? But truth is truth. Truth is truth. But here Jesus confronts Peter, who is in the midst of what Peter considers a cataclysmic event. He is out in the middle of the Red Sea, storm raging, waves billowing. He's walking on the water and now he's sinking. Peter grew up on the water. He was a fisherman. He knew what would happen. Now, he wasn't on the side of the shore where he could stand up. I can't tell you how many times, you know, we'd take our kids when they were little to the beach and we'd go out, wade out in the water, and Bethany especially, and I can say this because she's not here, but she'd get out in the water and she'd get to floundering in that water. And man, she spit and carried on. You thought she'd swallowed half of the Atlantic Ocean. Oh, Daddy, help, I can't swim. We'd be yelling at her, stand up. Stand up. The water was only about that deep. Stand up. And she'd just flail away. And so we'd have to go out and grab her and stand her up. You know, and she'd spit for a while and act like, you know, and have to pump her out. And then she's ready to get back in there again. What she thought was a cataclysmic event. And by the way, you know, something like that certainly can be frightening, even to adults. But what Jesus tells Peter here, and I want to give you these quickly, and I just wrote some things down. What should we do when these cataclysmic events strike? Number one, look at verse 26 of the text. Number one, have faith, not fear. Have faith, not fear. Much of America, much of the world was afraid on 9/11. And rightfully so, because if a group of people could steal airliners and fly them into buildings, who knows what else they might could do. There were many people talking about fear and being afraid. And in fact, for several years after that, there was such a fear over people from the Middle East. A lot of profiling. Now, it's obvious, and we know that everyone from that part of the world is not a terrorist. But it sure did awaken our senses to pay attention, and even yet today. Notice what the Bible said when they saw Jesus walking on the water in verse 26. It says, and they cried out. They were afraid. They said, it's a spirit. It's a ghost. And they were afraid. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says this, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When trouble comes, as I said, we're taught to call 911. On that 9/11, 911 was called a lot of times, but guess what? 911 couldn't help. 911 couldn't stop what was happening. I have never seen anything in my 59 years of life as frightening and awe-striking as when those towers, those 108-story buildings made out of metal and concrete, both of them, collapsed on top of one another. I've never seen anything like that. I've watched newsreels of all kinds of things, but that I saw live. And I don't think I'll ever get over it. I'll never get over it. In Genesis chapter 9, and now here we're, and now we're worried about Hurricane Florence. Remember what Jesus, God promised in Genesis chapter 9 after Noah got off the boat? He said in verse 11, I will never again destroy the earth by water. Now that doesn't mean that water cannot be destructive. We know it can. In fact, truly one of the most destructive elements can do as much or more damage than a fire, an earthquake, or even planes flying into a building. But what God is, what did Jesus say to those men in verse 27? Be of good cheer, it is I. And then he said, be not afraid. Don't be afraid, Christian. Don't be afraid when things happen. Put your faith in God. Don't be afraid. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to be afraid. I've been afraid often in my life. Things have happened that have brought fear to my life. But then once that initial fear sort of passes by, suddenly as a Christian you begin to remember, hey, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. He's in control. You know who made Hurricane Florence? God did. You know who's driving Hurricane Florence? God is. Do you know if it strikes South Carolina, you know who meant it to? God did. Do I know why? No. I do not have the mind of God. All I know is, have faith, not fear. But then there's another thing we learn in this text, and that is, pray, don't panic. You saw the newsreels. And once again, if you've never been to New York City to see the immensity of that place and to see those tens of thousands of people running down those streets as that large, and again, you cannot, from just watching on the screen, you cannot imagine the immense massiveness of those clouds. I just heard the other day on the news that there are men who were caught up in that dust, who are now suffering from breast cancer. Because, many of them, because they breathe that toxic dust, whatever was in it. Here's what Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse... By the way, I told you about Genesis 9:11. Now I want to read to you Nehemiah 9:11. And thou didst divide the sea before them. Here is Nehemiah writing about what God delivered Israel from. He divided the sea before them so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry ground. And their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps as a stone into the mighty waters. Remember, when things happen, don't panic. Pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11 says this. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. When things happen, just put your trust in God, pray, and then thank Him for seeing you through. What's another thing we can do when these events occur? Well, we can believe God, don't blame Him. Believe God, don't blame Him. Remember when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans? The worst until Katrina hit. When Katrina hit the Gulf Coast and New Orleans in particular, it became the most expensive natural disaster in American history. Do you remember when that hurricane struck New Orleans and when the Twin Towers were struck? People started blaming President Bush and blaming Christians and blaming this one and that one. Everybody was trying to blame somebody. We live in a sinful world where bad things happen. Somebody said, why did they happen? S-I-N. Sin. Not personal sin perhaps or per se. I mean, somebody's personal transgression did not cause those planes to strike those towers. I think it was a combination. I think it's a national tragedy. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11 says this, I returned and saw under the sun that the race, now you've heard this little adage as though some human being made it up, but this is in the Bible. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. And here's what it says, but time and chance happeneth to all. Nobody here is immune to trouble. Job said that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know why? Because we're sinners. Had Adam and Eve not sinned, they wouldn't have had any trouble. And here we would be, if history continued in the same direction, we'd be sitting here today with no trouble. In fact, we wouldn't even be sitting in church. There'd be no need for church. Well, why are we here? Why do we see things like this happen in the world? Because of sin. Whether it's our sin or their sin or a combination. We may not understand why God does what He does, but we must believe God not blame him. Two more and I'm through. Number four, what do we do when cataclysmic events occur? We, and boy, you saw it in 9/11, and we respond. We don't run. Hallelujah. Now sure, they, when those buildings were collapsing, people were running. But remember, there were people who responded into those buildings before they fell and were caught in those buildings as they collapsed. We've got men and women now who when our country is being attacked or when they're defending our freedom in other parts of the world and something comes along and a firefight starts, they don't run, they respond. Hallelujah. These policemen and fire, listen, everybody's not good. We got bad of everything. But most of them are good. Listen, if you're in trouble, you want a policeman to be there if you can find one. Or a fireman or a first responder. Thank God I live in a country where we don't run. We respond. Matthew 9:11. Says this, and when the Pharisees saw it, talking about Jesus in the home of sinners, and they said to the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't run from sinners? He responds to sinners. The day I got saved, I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. And he could have said, then I don't want to hear from you. But I said, I'm a sinner, and I want you to come into my heart and save me. And he responded by saving my soul. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9 verse 11 says this, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spoke unto them of the kingdom of God, and he healed them that needed healing. Aren't you glad when you need God, he doesn't run away? He responds. He answers. He comes. So when these things come in our lives, don't run away. Respond. And then lastly, what do we do when these cataclysmic events occur? Don't be angry. Be assured. Don't get angry. Get assurance. God never makes mistakes. Never. Not even a little bit. Nothing occurs to God. God does not respond to outside circumstance. God is circumstance. God is everything. Amen? God is our everything. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, life would be hopeless, like a ship without a sail. We need to focus upward in assurance, not outward in anger. I'm not going to lie to you. After seeing that live on September the 11th of 2001, there's a lot of folks I wanted to get even with. Not because I'm somebody, but because I'm an American. And when my country's attacked, bless God, I'm ready to do something about it. There's a lot of folks that want somebody else to do something about it. But I'm telling you, if they'd have called and said, we need, I'd have signed up. Yes, sir. I'm 59. I'd sign up right now. Can't do much. Just stick me in a hole with a gun. I'll do something. I'll do some damage somehow. Second Samuel chapter 9 and verse 11. Listen to what the Bible said. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, this is David speaking, he shall eat at my table as one of my sons. You'll notice that David had every right to destroy Mephibosheth because he was the grandson of Saul. who had turned against God, and God had taken his life and taken his kingdom from him. And he had every right under the rule of hierarchy to kill Mephibosheth. But instead, he said, I want you to eat at my table. I'm going to treat you good. Not for Saul's sake, but for Jonathan's sake. Jonathan was my friend. Jonathan was my best friend. Me and Jonathan were closer than brothers. And if he's the son of Jonathan, then he's as good a friend as Jonathan was. And the Bible said for the rest of Mephibosheth's life, he slid those crippled legs under David's table. And when strangers came in, they didn't see Mephibosheth other than just like everybody else. Don't get angry. Get assured. You realize it doesn't matter what you've done. If you're saved, you're as good as Jesus is. In the eyes of God, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I can slide my wicked heart under God's table. And when God sees me, He sees me just like Jesus. You know why? He said, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11 says this, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. Hallelujah, I'm glad there's some good things to come. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, but by His own blood, He entered into the holy place once, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I'm angry at myself that I didn't get saved sooner. I'm angry at myself because I am the reason that Jesus died on the cross. But on the other hand, I'm assured that my sins are gone and I'm forgiven and God has written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and I'll never have to worry about going to hell. If a building falls down on top of me, I'm still saved. I still get angry and so do you. But what we need to do is start looking up in assurance and realize that one day this is all going to be over. One day when we get to heaven, Proverbs says that what we just saw, we will not remember. Somebody said, when I get to heaven, I'll spend a lot of time just remembering how it was here. No, you won't. When you get that new body, God's going to erase every sinful, ungodly, wicked, wrong thing that you ever experienced. Listen, I don't want to go to heaven and talk about hell. Do you? I don't want to get a new body so I can talk about the old one. I have enough trouble with this one now. When I get my new one, I don't want to remember this one. Well, I'll tell you, I remember when I had that plantar fasciitis. I've had two good days and this morning is about to kill me. That's all right, though. Let her roll. Because one day I'll run the streets of gold. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I'll kick up my heels and they won't hurt. Amen. You know why? Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Promised of love. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. That's not my story. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I hope you know Him today. If you do, those cataclysmic events in your life will not run your life, because you'll be assured of a better place. Father, we love you today, and I sure thank you for the precious opportunity
to preach one more time God's holy word.
Lord, I know this has been sort of a theme service about 9/11, and Lord, after this morning, we're going to move on into other things, into other areas, but help us never to forget. Now, Lord, I want to forget my sinful past. I don't want to brag on it. I don't want to make fun of it. I don't want to laugh about it. But it's good to be reminded of where I came from. Like that old song says, if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know all the reasons why I love Him so. Thank God I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm sure not what I used to be. And someday when Jesus comes, I'll be all He wants me to be. So Lord, I pray if there's a lost person here today, that they'll come to know Christ as their Savior. For that Christian who is struggling with cataclysmic events or just events that to them can be earth-shattering, Lord, may they understand that Jesus is in control, that God loves them, and that God has a way out. But thank God one day the way out will be heaven and we never have to get out again. Thank you for this time together. Bless the moment of invitation. There may be some here who just want to come and get around the altar and pray and thank God for something or present God with something in their life that they need help with. May they feel free, church member or visitor, to come to this altar and present it at the throne of grace. We love you and thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen, brother.